introduce a friend, a brother in Christ, and his wife, Mark and Rebecca. From Mark is a pastor, has been a pastor for many years in Medicine Hat, Empress first, I think it was, and then Medicine Hat at King's Church. River Valley Community Church. And now he has a new role, and he is the director of Disciples Bible Camp. And so we all just want to welcome you, Mark. Mark has an amazing heart for Jesus and want to see people saved and delivered, and he has many stories. So come on, Mark, come and let's give him a clap.
Before I just share what's going on at the camp, I just want to say it is such a joy to be in a church that allows the moving of the Holy Spirit. Can we say amen? Wow. And just the presence of God in your midst here, Pastor, and the Lord is at work. How many know that Christ is at work? And just to sense and to watch the kids, too, and I'll just share this briefly, because Pastor Hans has given me 4 hours, wow, you've got a, they're all right with that. You have beat them into submission, Pastor. Well done. We love small country churches. Now, when I say small, I don't mean not powerful. Because we had the ability, or God placed us in Empress for 6 years, a town of 173, and it's probably about 133 now. And our story is really bizarre, but we came out of corporate management, didn't go to Bible school, and started pastoring a church. Just crazy. How many know that God has a plan for us? Absolutely. God's got a plan for this church. But your children, we've pastored 18 years, and the last 12 we pastored in Medicine Hat. It was Christ the King, and then we merged with another church out of the leading of the Holy Spirit, not out of necessity, out of God. How many know that God has great plans and mysteries for us that He wants us to pursue? How many know that? And it's exciting to pursue the living God. Sometimes it's frustrating. How many of you know that? He's not frustrated, but somehow we get frustrated. But we pastored for 12 years in Medicine Hat, and we felt for, in the last year and a half, we just felt that the Lord was leading us onto other things. And the church was healthy. The church was what we considered strong. We're grateful for that. There were three other pastors beside us. But God had placed dreams in our heart. And God had placed passions and visions in our heart. And this morning, I guarantee that you have dreams and you have passion and vision in your heart. The thief has come but to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. It is the thief that wants to steal your passions. It is the enemy that wants to steal your dreams and your vision and your life. And so as we journeyed with God and with the Holy Spirit, we felt that we needed to take a leap of faith, and we felt our time at the church had really wrapped up, and it was either we were going to stay and be there for the next 10, 12, whatever years the Lord wanted us to, but we really felt the Lord leading us on. And so we were very blessed to be able to take a sabbatical time, and God led us, it's a crazy story, but led us to the camp. We're not the directors. We've been asked to, they call the title CEO. I don't care about a title. I just want to do what God wants us to do. And so we're reshaping the camp and asking the Lord to guide us to take the camp and the ministry of the camp to a new place that only God could take us to. So I want to thank this church for the incredible support that you've been to Cypress Hills Camp. I want to thank Pastor Hans and the board and your heart for that camp. And camp had a very powerful influence on my life. I was 11 years old, but prior to that, I was born and raised and lived in Medicine Hat, and we went to First Assembly of God as a family, the Pentecostal church there. My wife, Becky, her dad pastored that church for 22 years, And Pinecrest Camp, the other camp at Cypress Hills, was very impactful on me as a child. And at 11 years of age, in the old tabernacle, they used to call it. Remember those days? An old tabernacle. At 11 years of age, nobody touched me. Nobody did anything. I found myself laying on the floor. Moved by the Spirit. Speaking in other languages. We still believe in that today, right? You bet. It's a heavenly language. And I looked at your kids today. Wow. This church is full of life. And you're filled with something of the next generation. And part of my message this morning is about that. But we're reshaping the camp. And Len and Jan, who have been there, they've been the directors, wonderful people. Len is staying on to look after the site, the grounds, and the buildings, and he just knows the place inside out. So I said, you got to stay, Len, and God will give us the finances, so hang on. And so he's there, and we brought on staff a young man out of Edmonton. He starts April of this year, 2019. His name is Braden Pahowlich. Saved at camp at 18 years of age, Birch Bay Camp. His friend invited him to camp to work at the camp. He had no clue it was a Christian camp. Got there. Isn't that great? Just trick them. I mean, do what you gotta do. And at camp, he asked him, he said, are you content with your life? And he said that question, it just troubled him and troubled him and troubled him. And he realized he wasn't until he gave his life over to Christ. And so he is finishing up his degree at Grant McEwen University in children and social work. And he's worked at Birch Bay for 8 years and has a passion for camp ministry. And it is an absolute miracle how we got him. Because when we came and journeyed with the camp board for about 4 weeks, we started September 15th. And I sat there because I told him, I said, if I was the director, I'll just mess the camp up. You don't want me to do that. And that's not my calling. And they didn't really want that. They wanted someone to kind of lead it and then begin to take it to the place where they sensed that the Lord was taking. And by the way, it's not us. We know it's the leading of God and the power of God that does everything. But we're his vessel. Isn't that exciting? And so as we journeyed, I sat there one morning. It was about a week into the camp. And I went, oh my goodness, we need a new ministry director. Where are we going to find him? And I said, well, Lord, you know who he is. I'm leaving it with you. That day I got a phone call. And it was that young man from Edmonton. He had contacted a member of our board, the chairman of the board. And long story short, he'll be here in April. And Braden will be out at camp for about four months, May, June, July, August, connecting with kids. Our dream is to have that camp filled. Our dream is to continue to have 50% of the kids that come to that camp from non-saved homes. Our dream is to find a way to disciple kids and families that come to Christ. Camps struggle with that. I believe God has a blueprint. Can you agree with me? That we'll find a way to follow up and disciple with people who come to Christ and connect with churches and maybe get them connected with local bodies. That's our dream. But I know this, that God has a plan. And so, again, I want to thank this church for being such a part of the camp. And please journey with us in prayer and catch a fresh vision with us. Because my heart is to see the area that we live in born again, saved, revived, churches revived, and cities and towns transformed. We are living in a day where we've got to see a move of God. We have to have it. Our culture is at a place that it's disintegrating before our very eyes, but I don't believe we have to just sit in our chairs comfy on Sunday. I don't think the church should be comfortable. I never believed God planned for us to be comfortable. I believe he planned for us to be on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a nation. That's what I believe. And again, I should get to my text, shouldn't I, Pastor Hans? But you did give me 4 hours, so I believe God wants to change our nation. Do you know that Canada has never had a national revival? Do you know that? Never had one. It's had pockets of revival. Never had an awakening from sea to sea. We should not be satisfied as followers of Jesus Christ until we see a national awakening. And we should not be hunkering down in our church buildings, which are not the church. You are the church, waiting for the return of Jesus. If we believe, as we believe, that his return could be imminent, we best get our butts in gear. Is it okay to say that? And pardon me? That's cowboy language, so I can use that. Okay, thanks for that. Anything I shouldn't say? Okay, we won't go there. Because Jesus wants to see people come to know him. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Church should be four R's. Real. Write this down. It should be very real. It should be raw. Wouldn't it be great to get a pile of people in here all messed up? Thanks for the three amens. It should be real, raw, it should be relevant, and it should be redeeming. Because Jesus is redemptive. That's our God. And so, pray for us as we lead the camp. It is just a massive learning curve. But I'm enjoying going around and sharing the Word of God in churches and with the churches that are supporting us. And we're so grateful for that. Pastor, you gave me this permission. If any of you would love or like or you feel the leading of the Spirit to become monthly supporters of the camp, talk to us afterward. That's enough. Let's go to the Word of God. And you have read this portion of Scripture probably all month in December, but we're going to go through it again. Luke chapter 2, or Luke chapter, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it's the story of Mary. And of course, you've read this through Christmas because Mary becomes pregnant with salvation. She becomes pregnant with redemption. And all along, going back right to Genesis, we see that it was the enemy's plan, Genesis chapter 3, to try and destroy the seed that would bring redemption to mankind, Jesus Christ. The seed of the woman would crush Satan's head, destroy him. And we see all through Scripture that Satan's plan was to destroy God's plan. And that plan first came in the womb of Mary. God implanted within her his plan, the salvation for all of us, of mankind. Verse 26 says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The kingdom will never end. Isn't that an amazing covenant promise today? The kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Let's stop there. You have dreams and you have passions. And this message is titled, The Answer for Battle-Weary Believers. And most of us, when we have a dream and a vision, and I don't think it's just for individuals today. I think it's for this church also. Because I had a whole other message planned in the week. And I just felt I couldn't preach it. I felt this was the message to preach. But many of you ask how. How many of you ever ask God how? Come on, be honest. Here's what I want you to do since we have this up here. But how can this happen? I want you to take the W in that how. And I want you to move the W in front of the H. And what's the word you get? Who? Who? Don't ask how. Trust in who. And that who is Jesus Christ. That who is God. That who is the power of the Holy Spirit. That who is the one who imparted within you the dreams and the visions and the passions that he's given you. But what I'm finding as I'm traveling around, and I'm including myself in this, many people are weary. Believers are weary. Struggling. Discouraged. They've cried out for years for a move of God. And it's almost like they want to retire their dreams. Don't retire your dreams. Just refire them. Refire them. As a church, refire your dreams and your vision for Maple Creek. Don't sit back. Don't look at the economic issues and the economy of the country right now. God never works in that realm. God works in the realm of the Spirit, looking not to what is seen, but looking to what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal. What is unseen is eternal. Look to your eternal source. Look to the things of the Holy Spirit, of what God wants to do. And God planted within Mary his plan. And all along there was this trying to destroy God's purpose and God's plan. And Mary says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. Many of you have said, how? I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I'm not righteous. I don't deserve it. Those are not words that any believer should speak. It is shocking to me that when I remember sharing, Becky, you remember this, I'd often say to our church in Medicine Hat, and I remember the first time I said it, it was like the place went quiet. I said to them, do you know that you're as righteous as God? Well, it's fairly quiet here too, Pastor Hans. I'm going to say it again. Do you know you're as righteous as God? He, being Christ, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Can I hear an amen? And then we have the audacity to say to God, who's planted in us hopes and visions and dreams, that we're not worthy, we're not good enough, we're this or we're that. We, this morning, as you came and as you've given your life to Christ, the Spirit of the living God lives within us. But then as we worship God, we sensed his presence this morning. He's not coming unless he's coming to a people of righteousness. We are righteous in God because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's really good preaching. That's not me. That's God. That's the Word. That's the Word. We're righteous. God's planted within you vision and hopes and dreams. And discouragement is running rampant. And weariness is running rampant. And Mary, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Do you know, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. But do you know there is one thing that's impossible with God? Now they think I'm crazy. There is one thing that's impossible. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, Pastor, it's impossible to please him. Ponder that. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God's going to ask you to take faith steps this year. God's going to ask you to walk in the unknown. God's going to ask you to do things you never thought possible. God's going to have you dream dreams that are far bigger than your resources. God's going to have you have visions that are way outside the realm of the natural. Why? Because redemption is in his heart. Salvation is in his heart. People are in his heart. The gospel is about people. At the end of the day, the gospel is about people. This church has to be about people. if it becomes it's about the building, or if it becomes it's about an institution, or, oh my goodness, if it's about the PAOC, we're really in trouble. Don't tell the district superintendent I said that. But you can if you want. It's about Jesus Christ, amen. And bless the denomination, yes. But it's about our Lord. We've lost our why, church. We've lost our why. When Becky and I visited and walked on the campgrounds, because my main gifting really is evangelism. I just love to preach and call people to Christ. And we looked at the camp, and because it was just so something we just would never expect of God. How many of you know that God has great surprises? He really does. And we walked on the grounds, and we looked at each other and said, there's just so much potential here. But it's not about a camp, and it's not about those buildings, and it's not about the ground that the buildings are on. It's about bringing kids and teens and churches and people to a place where they can hear the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What are your visions? For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant. Have you said yes to those dreams? Have you said yes? Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I don't know if any of you have ever watched salmon and the unbelievable journey that salmon have to make. There's a reason they make that journey through every battle that they have to fight. The strength of that current. Waterfalls, up they go. It's like they go up some ladder through their strength, and they fight through the heavy current. They fight because they have to get back to the fresh water to lay their eggs. One of the predators that's often trying to stop them are bear. And you'll watch bear, grizzly and large brown bear, and you'll watch them right by that stream. And often the salmon will jump up and they'll just grab that salmon. And typically the bear will eat just the skin, the brains, and the eggs. And there's a reason for that, because it's the most nutrients are in that area of the salmon, and the most fats are in that area of the salmon. And if it's in a good season and they're already well fed, they just throw the carcass away. If they still need more, then they eat the entire salmon. But salmon have this incredible fight within them, and it literally baffles scientists how salmon can go up this current, up this waterfall, and fight through and get to the place where they have to release those eggs. There's a reason they're doing it, though. They are filled and they are pregnant with the next generation. Think about that. They have to fight because they are pregnant with the next generation. I'm going to ask you a question. Your hopes and your dreams, you're pregnant with them. But I'm going to ask you another question. Are you filled with hope, belief, and passion for the next generation of this culture? We have an entire generation that has walked away from the church. We have an entire generation that hardly knows the name of Jesus, let alone what the cross was about. We have broken families everywhere. Are you filled with vision and hope and the Holy Spirit for the next generation? And you, if you are going to have to fight it through. Because there's going to be prey along the way. The thief wants to steal your dream, your hopes, your passion, your vision. And we become weary in that battle, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But powers and principalities, Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. But there's hope today. You got to recharge. But there's another side to this that God often allows to happen. And I said to Becky a week ago, I said, so I'm going to be very vulnerable. I said to her, I just feel, we have a vision board in our home. I just feel there's so many things, Becca, that we've written down. that we haven't seen. And I said, for years we've believed. I believe there's people here today. You're the same boat. We've believed that this is what God wanted for our lives. And we've believed there's so many greater things. Marvelous things. But you know that often your dream that God put in your heart has to die. There's a reason for it. Because God can resurrect it and then he gets all the glory. Can we hear an amen? It's not about us. We're the vessel, yes. But it's so God can get the glory. I'm convinced that's why we're not seeing the fullness of God yet. Because God just doesn't give away his glory real easy. Amen? And often prior moves of God, men put their hand on it and we began to worship men instead of keeping our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's dreams and vision. If there be one person here today, this message is for you. There's dreams and there's vision within you that God has placed there. And you feel you've been robbed. You've not been robbed. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you've let go. You know, in the book of Matthew, and again, I'm sure you read it this Christmas, Joseph was visited by an angel in a dream after the baby had been born. He was well over a year old at that point. The Magi had come to visit. And right after the Magi visited, and you know, we preached that, it's such an interesting text. We preached that text with the three kings, and by the way, there were many more than three, and it was a large entourage and all that stuff. And they laid down gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they came to worship him. Beautiful, beautiful picture. Right after that, Joseph, in a dream, is warned by an angel to get the child to Egypt because, again, Satan wants to destroy the plan of God through Herod. The cool thing about it, and this is a whole other message, is that the three wise guys brought some big cash with them. Yep. Mary was broke, Joseph was broke, and the donkey was broke, and those dudes brought money. It's true. They needed resources to get them to Egypt. And so right away, fear says we don't have the resources to fulfill our dream. Fear says we can't do it because our bank account doesn't have it. Fear says, no, we'll wait until the resources are there. That's not how God operates. How many know that? We walk by faith, not by sight. And we take a step at a time. Pursue your dream. Pursue your vision. Pursue your heart. And Maple Creek Pentecostal Church, get on with it. You've got a town to save. You've got a town to save. It's the truth. It's not good enough. It's not good enough that our churches aren't being filled. It's not good. I preach this in my church. It's not. They're not knocking the doors down. We need to go to them. We need to be healing. We need to be the answer for their trouble. And you might just be the one that God has chosen to also, as you fulfill your dream, you fulfill somebody else's dream. Think about that. Wow. Just ponder that. Joel 2, 28 to 30, it says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people." We see Peter quoting this on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came. And of course there was that manifestation of the gift of tongues and other things that were going on. But I don't believe we've seen the true and whole fulfillment of what this verse is saying. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Okay, how many of you guys are over 60 here today? The rest of you are lying. Okay. Okay. You're going to dream dreams. You're going to dream dreams. I don't understand the word retirement in the kingdom. I don't get that. It doesn't make sense. We've got seniors that are so filled with God and have so many things they can be doing. So again, don't retire, refire. But you're going to dream dreams. And what's it say about young men? See visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Why? Redemption. Redemption. The cross. Do you really think that heaven's going to be empty? Do we really believe this theology that Christ died for a handful? I preached at the Good Friday service in Medicine Hat, and I made a statement that stirred up some people and got some people upset. So we'll see what it does here. I believe heaven's going to be fuller than hell. You say, how can you believe that? The Bible says that only a few find it. Jesus was speaking to the Jews at that point, folks. First to the Jew, the gospel, then to the Gentile. God's a redeemer. He's got a plan. I want to be involved in the plan. How about you? I want your church to, and us as people, and the camp, and whatever. But it's not about that stuff. It's about following what God's put on your heart. It's about the dream and the vision that God's put in your life. It's about why? Because God put it there. He put it there. What stops our dreams very quickly? Weariness. Sin. Yep. But there's redemption for that. By the way, I don't know, Pastor, if I'm going to step on more toes, but I just never called my church sinners. People who know Jesus, they're just, no. They're children of God, co-heirs with Christ, royal priesthood, just amazing people. I call them kids with behavior problems. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Absolutely. We got some behavior issues, right? But we're in Christ. Oh my goodness. We're in Jesus. Perfect. Perfect. Think about that. Ponder that. That's the message of the church. We've misrepresented God at times. Let's be honest. Been pretty judgmental and pretty hard on people. Weariness. Giving up. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Give up on that. Give up. Unworthiness. Unworthiness. I'm not worthy. Well, we dealt with that issue a few minutes ago. We're as righteous as God because of the blood of Christ, Pastor. We're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You are worthy. None of us could have done this prior to Jesus. We weren't worthy. While we were yet sinners, Christ dies for us. The gospel doesn't make sense, but it is sure an amazing message. And the stumbling block is the simplicity of it. You're worthy. You've given up. Mm-mm, don't give up. Don't give up. Pursue what God has placed in your heart. Go after it. But also submit it to God and watch Him do that work. Because He'll do immeasurably, abundantly, above all that we ask, think, or imagine. You can't imagine. God gave us our imagination as a gift, just so you're aware. It's the creative part of us that God gave us. Yeah, that's where we see things by the Spirit. But He will do so far above and beyond that. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes. Whatever you've been praying about, healing, family members that don't know the Lord, Maple Creek on fire for God, financial blessing, whatever you've been praying about, I want you to imagine it now and see it fulfilled. See it fulfilled. This is not spooky or anything. It's the Holy Spirit within us. See it fulfilled. Just take a moment. Did everybody see that picture in your mind? Did everybody see that? Maybe it was a loved one worshiping God that isn't serving God. Maybe it was healing in your body, loved one's body. Just see it in your mind. That's what God wants to do. Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, called those things that are not. The God who calls those things that are not as though they were. And Abraham did not shrink back in unbelief, but believed. You know what? Faith isn't the problem, church. Unbelief is. It's unbelief. You know, we tell people, you need more faith. You need more faith. You need more faith. Really? Jesus said, if you've got faith, it's a mustard seed. It's unbelief. It's the words we speak out of our mouth. In our mouth is a power of life and death, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We sometimes can curse our dreams with our own mouth. But God wants your dreams fulfilled. Let's stand. Go after it. Go after it. Every head bowed, please. Every head bowed. First of all, if you've had something in your life and you believe God calling you and he's placed something in your heart and in your spirit, and yet you've been discouraged, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand, please? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Let me encourage you. I've been there and have been there, and the last week I was there. Yeah. And let me pray for you. Father God, you see every hand that was lifted. Father, you see what you planted in their heart, just like what you did with Mary. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. Let's say that, everybody. Be it unto me according to your word. Again, be it unto me according to your word. And so, Father, for everyone here who has had a vision and a dream, and it's been years and it still hasn't been fulfilled, Father God, you do in a second what takes us years. So God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would pour fresh water on those dreams, fresh water on that vision. Father God, you have raised up a people in this church that are worthy, that are righteous, that are in Christ. And I pray in the name of Jesus, and I speak that they will see these dreams and visions fulfilled. And they will start taking the steps to see it happen. Because until you take the first step, you can't take the second one. We thank you. And I pray for this church corporately, for Pastor Hans and the board, the leadership, for everything that they're doing, all the children, God, for the ministries of this church. Father, move them out. Move them out, Lord. Move them out from the walls of this church building into this community. And I know they have a great community ministry, but Lord, increase. I just sense the word increase. Increase it, Lord. Increase it, Lord, I pray. And every head bowed, if there's anyone here, you've never given your life to Christ. It's so simple. It's so simple to invite Christ to be Lord. Is there anyone here that you'd say, Mark, I need the Jesus. The Jesus that I've just learning about and learned about, but I'm on a journey, but I need this Jesus. Would there be anybody you'd lift your hand and say, I want to receive Christ today? There's a young lady right here. Bless your heart. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. There's 3, 4. Amazing. Thank you, Pastor Hans. There's 4 ladies, gals right here. So bless you this morning. And I'm going to turn that over to you. 4 young ladies lifted their hand here for salvation. We should be cheering. Amen. We should be cheering. It's yours. Bless you.
We're going to end the service with this song, and the altar will be open, and I'll encourage the 4 ladies with up the hand to come, and we'll pray with you to come. And Let's end the service with this song. The Lord bless you.